Yeah, so let's try to finish up the what I call the gap issues, and then start with Star, and then we'll try to go back to Mashko. And when I come back again, I won't be able to be here next week. But so Monday, do we want to try? Are people going to be around?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let us try. I'll be in touch if something happens. I have an appointment like in the morning with my father that I can't get out of. Let me just check 1 second. This is the 12th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an appointment 10, 15, 11. Could we do...
we can do like a midnight fireside chat sort of thing.
Can we try for 12 on Monday? Is that good for people?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's try for 12. If I'm a little bit late or something, who should I call?
Sure. Well, She'll
be back by then? Yeah. Okay, good. So let's assume 12. Again, I don't be able to go so long because, again, I have a plane to catch that around 6-ish, and I have to do something before that. But let's try. Let's try to get in Monday so we don't miss next week. And at least we can do Star if we can't do more. We'll try to get to Star today if we can, at least to be pose the question, and we'll talk more about it. Okay? And then when I come back, that other week, maybe we can add an extra shiur also. So we'll do maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, tentatively Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or we'll start earlier and do longer ones so we can get through some of the other interesting topics. Okay. I gave you on Shtar what to begin with, what to do. Okay. So we did Dichui a little bit. Again, obviously, it's, again, I think it's just important to be, first of all, it's here. Our important Rishonim al Atar. In addition to that, I say I think it's important to do these sugyas when they come up, just to get a taste of them. And the idea in dichui, and the types of dichuis, and you know the difference between the kara and nirva nidcha, and what the nature of the things that we did are very important, just as categories to keep in mind. You know what, you know when a thing's all about money, you know even like earmark designated money. These are big issues in tzedakah, obviously, and other commitments that people make, you know, where you, again, you earmark, let's say, something for a certain goal or purpose that can't be accomplished, like, immediately, but, you know, when there's a conversion down the line, these are, like, obviously very, very interesting and important issues. To what extent that is a form of, like, a delayed kedushas haguf, or a kedushas haguf, you know, le'inyan, which is what Revolvo is trying to say, or whether or not it's just, you know, earmarking and it's a, you know, goal-oriented, but, you know, the nuts and bolts of the Kedusha are really, you know, kind of more like Bedek HaBayis or Damim, etc. There are other nafkamina too. But the whole idea of dichui in general, in mitzvos and in kachim, this idea of a disrupted trajectory or a pagam, or that where the past, like we're more past sensitive, like to what, you know, what didn't happen, or to a certain stigma, you know, that you can't kind of overcome. The more dichui is limited to cases where there actually is a stigma, the easier it is to say that even in the present, what we're saying is, you know, there's still something attached, you know, to that object, or to that person, or to that circumstance, which kind of, you know, precludes, you know, this turning into a davar shebekedusha. Otherwise, it's just the lost opportunity and the disruption of the trajectory itself. But either way, these are very interesting questions, and they express themselves in the halacha in very specific ways. And that was the dichui topic. Okay, so now we were discussing, after that, we're talking about the continuation of the Gemara and the two Lashonos and the debate between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Regarding both smichus das shuma, in other words, and the question of davar katsuv with regard to shavakasa, also two very interesting issues. So I just want to explore them a little bit more before we move on to the discussion of shtar. Okay, so again, I think Yonatan read it for us last time. We have the debate between Rabbah and Rav Yosef regarding. Shiroi, right? Rabbah said lo tzrichi shuma. Rav Yosef said tzrichi shuma. The Gemara says that we're mostly talking about a situation where the amount, you know, is not different than, you know, what was articulated. But the question is whether or not we need to know it or not. Does it have to be known, right, and established? Or as long as there's no discrepancy, that is sufficient. So what is the nature of that argument? I just want to discuss that for a couple of minutes. So on one level, I mean, whenever we talk about Smichas Das, we're talking about a chisaron in Das, right? And Das is part of transactions, obviously. We make mindful, purposeful, you know, transactions, and therefore knowing what you're doing, you know, consciousness, awareness of what you're doing is a pivotal part of that. So on one level, you could just say that the requirement of Smichas Das for Kinyanim in general is absent here. You know, even though it turns out, I mean, it's an interesting case, because it turns out everything is fine and good. Like, he agreed to, you know, to be Mekadisher with a $50 value, and it turns out that it really is a $50 value. But the question is, you know, do we need to know that she knows, or maybe that's already prejudice in the case. Does she need to know, or do we need to know objectively that it is so? So that's an interesting question. So the most minimal way to look at all this, and the most innocuous way, is to say that, you know, this knowledge and this being, you know, known and discernible, let's say, is an objective requirement for the minimum uniform requirement of Smichas Das where that exists. The problem with that is, you know, can we really justify it? Like, do we believe it? In other words, in the end of the day, if, you know, if something is clearly worth more than a pruta, and it turns out to be also worth the amount that was projected, you know, do we really think that, you know, have that the knowledge of that at some point, or it being verified, you know, is really ma'akev smichus das that is reasonable to us? The answer might be yes. Okay. But if the answer is no, then obviously, let me put it this way, that there can be an argument on that question between Rabbah and Rav Yosef is intriguing. Let me say it better this way. So one way to look at the argument is to say that the argument is about the minimal threshold of Smichus Das in Kinyanim. And as far as that is concerned, you know, Rabbah is more flexible. You know, as long as it turns out fine or it is fine, objectively, that's all you need here. And Rav Yosef is more insistent that this be, you know, a davar yadua, davar nikar, let's say. But, you know, it's a requirement, you know, of Smichas Das and Kinyanim. Because Rav Yosef is requiring more, and Rabbah is, you know, dismissing this requirement, so there becomes another way to look at all this, and that is that from a, like a pragmatic Smichas Das point of view, you know, this is not really something that is compelling, that it be ma'akev. But what we're really dealing with here is, you know, a higher standard of Smichas Das. And that, I think, could be said in a few different ways. But then we're discussing only certain types of kinyanim, like being mekadesh b'shiroi is the issue. What about, you know, a mekachomemkar b'shiroi or other, you know, types of transactions? So that's what I'm suggesting now is that the standard of Rabbah is the standard of Kol Torah Kula and even the standard of Kiddushin, as far as this is concerned, and that Rav Yosef is saying you need something beyond the reasonable, you know, just knowledge that there's no discrepancy here. So why would that be, or what would that be? So number one, I think three things could be said. One has to do with Kesef Kiddushin more particularly. And that is, when you're Mekadesh, we know that according to Beis Hillel, you can be Mekadesh B'Pruta. And according to Beis Shammai, you need a dinar, right? We've already discussed the fact that that itself could be an interesting debate. Even Beis Hillel's Kesef B'Pruta, right, which seems to be the minimum of what Shem Kesef is in the monetary system, but based on the Gemara on Dav Gimel, where the Gemara says that Chalipin is excluded specifically in Kiddushin because and those especially who expand on that idea, right? Again, so, you know, if it just means pragmatically, you know, what is she thinking? What does she want? That triggers all sorts of Tosas type, you know, discussions on Gimel. You know, what about, what will you say for Beis Shammai and Banta Drav Yanai? right? What will you say for Beis Hillel, if Sabra V'Kibla, and so on. But what we were trying to explain for many Rishonim throughout the year was that, no, maybe there's a din of Mekanya Nafsha, of Kesef Shel Ana, of Kesef Shel Das, of Kesef Shel Kavod, meaning there's a standard in Kiddushin which requires more. And that standard itself could explain Beis Shammai. Now, this isn't just that Beis Shammai, in a way, you know, you have a parallel. You have Rabban and Rav Yosef here discussing what level of Smichus Das is required for Kiddushin. And you have Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai discussing what, you know, level Meirosh do you require for Kesef or Kpeda, right, in Kiddushin. Now, they're not the same, because in one case, the question is, what is the initial, you know, demand? Like, what do you require? What's the threshold, you know, of money, of value? And the other, the question is, what is the threshold of, you know, not the value, but of knowledge, you know, of what you're getting into? Clearly, you have more than you need, right? But the question is, do you need to know precisely what it is? So those could be different, but they can be parallel. And the point may be that when you need Kesef Shel Hana, Kesef Shel Kavod, and so for the same reason that you might require a higher standard of Pruta, excluding Chalipin, excluding Kalim, excluding Matano Menas L'Hachzer, excluding Milva, right? Justifying for the Netziv, Shad and Daf Heo Men Aleph, why the Gemara looks to Pidyon Hekdesh and Meiser Sheni instead of Rabbi Yochanan's Mos Konos, right? All the things that we, you know, some of the people weren't here, but for most of the people who were here, all the things that we've, you know, noted, all these things that highlight that Kesef Shel Ana, Kesef Shel Kavod, you know, is you know, the chinuch about, you know, using a tabas, because it, you know, is something which a woman, you know, is going to attach emotional, you know, significance to. You know, it has sentimental value, you know, and it's perceived, you know, in a certain way. So all of these things could come into Rabban and Rav Yosef too, meaning, and the following way, what you might say is that when you go beyond the pruta, right, so that extra that you add is just a tanai bialma, and then becomes just a regular smichus das bialma, or that redefines what Kesef Kiddushin is. In other words, for Beis Hillel, it's the minimum pruta. And even then, it might be Mekanya Nafsha and all the seven different ways that I just mentioned, right? And for Beis Shammai, maybe it's even a step beyond that. It's the next level, let's say, of a higher, you know, category of Kesef. For that same reason, perhaps, according to some views of Beis Shammai, right? So what we are saying is, okay, no, we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. And you can get away with certainly a proper pruta for Beis Hillel. But if you choose, right, to be mosif on that pruta, so are you being mekadesh, you know, with a pruta and the rest is a tanai and a smichus das issue? Or does that turn in this particular case, into the kesef shel ana? So the chalos, kesef kiddushin, the chalos mekanya, you know, nafsha, whatever you want to call it, now includes that higher value. So if I give her $100 as kesef kiddushin, it's not kesef kiddushin bepruta, you know, and the rest is a tanai of smichus das. You know, the way to look at it is that it's kiddushin bekesef plus, you know, with a, again, a circle around the plus. It's kesef plus. Have we done board this year? Have we used the board this year?
The board. Oh, I don't think we've used the board.
I think we usually end up, it's usually June, right?
At some point, yeah.
We use the board every year, though.
Every year in June?
Right, at some point. We need a marker. We'll
have we used it all year?
I don't think so.
Right? I mean, there's never been a year that we didn't use the board, and it's almost never been a year that we did use the board before June. It's one of those perks of June.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we'll see, maybe today. But
you can tell the plus.
What? I was going to say, you know, exactly. But, you know, is it pruta plus? This is a pruta plus, you know. But the plus part, I don't mean by the plus part to negate the plus. I mean to add. In other words, so whatever it is that you've had, or maybe even a further view, which is it isn't pruta plus whatever the plus is. There's three ways to understand what pruta plus can mean. It's pruta, you know, plus. And it's...
Which one is the model for Torah plus?
Exactly. You're right there. Exactly. Definitely not the first one. right? The question is whether it's the second or the third. Yeah. No marker? What, they have such little faith in our class management? Is it called class management skills? Oh, wow, we have a real... Oh, my goodness, that's true. Although, this is not a smart board.
No, that's fine.
When they say use a smart board...
I'm old-fashioned and old-fashioned.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying...
Only once a year.
But when they say use the smart board, they're not talking about this.
No,
they're talking about you type, you get, you know,
projector.
What?
You get a projector.
Or you get Arye or Yakir or whatever. You know, Jesse in the old days, you know, or
Avigdor in the middle.
Or Avigdor. So you get, that's what they mean.
Yes.
And what? It's beamed into people's.
It's effectively a projector, but you can use.
I mean, it's like
itself,
we have here.
The board itself is interactive. In other words, you don't have to put stuff into the computer. You could like do stuff on the board, and it will like show up on the board.
On the computer board.
Yes.
It's like an iPad on the board.
So you can
draw.
The board is a computer screen.
Yeah. Is the board a computer screen?
Sort of. Yep. Yes.
It's touchscreen.
Like a touchscreen, right?
Touchscreen.
Interactive.
So like I would just go like.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or something like that.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So basically, what we have is our Pruta, right? Well, maybe we'll do more, but. Right, which already from Beis Hillel, right, is a plus in a way, because if you hold Makanya, you know, Nafsha, right, not Tosis, right, it's already a plus regarding.
I'm good at this.
I could teach high school. Or I could put it this way, I could get pass, you know, licensing in Israeli.
Yeah, right. Well, I've never done that, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But wait,
either
did the Rav?
There were other Machanim in history.
I never set foot in Nazareth, but it's a good thing to do. So, again, it's Mekanyan Avsha, right? Miyut Achalipin, right? You know, Matan Almanas Lahatsir. Milva, right? The comparison to Pidyon, you know, Hekdesh, Meiser, all these things. So it's already a bit of a plus.
Everybody lost the effectiveness of this?
But equals plus, right? But it's still, at the end of the day, it's still a pruta,
right?
And then, of course, there's Beis Shammai, who's Dinar, which already is pruta plus, because it is a pruta plus because... of a certain type, because Beis Shammai doesn't disagree that if you're Gonev or Gozel Shavapruta, he doesn't think you need to be Gozel Dinar. He's not arguing on the whole institution, right? You missed the whole show. You would actually walk out 2 minutes, the whole thing changes. My whole shita of teaching. Beis Shammai and Dinar is a Pruta plus.
Okay.
Of sorts,
right?
And now what we're asking is we move on to the other hemisphere.
Sounds good.
Okay. So right. So now let's say you really have, you know, a pruta plus in the sense of, you know, yumakadesh. Let's say, you know, we don't want to confuse Beis Shammai. Let's say mana. Right. So you have a Kaddish B'mana, so that is a Pruta plus in some respect. So what we're wondering is, it's Pruta, right, plus, and this is equals Michos Das only, Tanai, okay, might be the same thing, we'll leave it for now. Or is it Pruta plus, right, and does that mean... Pruta plus, or maybe it even means mana. I've redefined in this case what Kesef Kiddush is.
What was the second category?
So it's meaning it's the idea that it's more than a pruta, whatever it is, but let's say the specific amount doesn't become the Kesef Kiddush, it's whatever that specific amount is. It's not Kiddush and the mana. You know, it's Kiddushin with
yes,
the...
Pruta.
the beyond the Prut or whatever that is. That, it's just a little more general and more. I think there are some nafkamina of that. So why am I telling you all this? Good question. Oh, so is that possibly a way to explain the discussion between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef here? Here's Mekadosh B'Shirai. So this Shirai, you know, becomes the Kesef Kiddushin, and it becomes important to understand, you know, Meirosh, you know, what this Shirai is and what it's, possibly what it's worth. Because that's the new standard. It isn't really the new standard of Pruta completely. We'll see how this, you know, manifests. You know, in a way, there can be a... Where did my hang, though? Yeah, now we're in the southern end.
Oh, yeah, I also have another color.
What's that?
Maybe a second color. Maybe for the first model, the plus would be in a different color. But for
oh,
the
that's
third
brilliant.
Model, would be in the same.
Oh, you have another marker?
Yeah, right here. It's also probably dark. And then maybe like half of the plus.
You throw it.
What? Throw it?
Okay. You're not kidding. So you're saying that this might be, maybe this even should be.
Really? No, I'm saying the first.
Oh, I see. You're saying this over here.
Right.
So let's, what was I about to say?
Shirai.
No, I was about to say that what we're going to confront in a couple of minutes is the opposite part of this problem. Right? Namely, what's the opposite problem? Opposite parallel. Parallel opposite.
Like the Dishali when things are lower?
Exactly. What happens... The shoveli is what?
Not, what's the same?
It's a pruta
minus.
Right? Or, that, I mean, we'll see if it can be a pruta minus. A slime minus.
It's really all our class, though.
Right? Or, is it really a slime? You know, with a... minus. Okay. How... There you go. That's my left hand.
Right?
Ooh. No. It's my left hand. Else I can't throw underhand.
You need a hockey stick.
What?
You pass it with a hockey stick. You might
know. Yeah, that's...
Right.
I'm a righty, but for some reason I grew up... you know, shooting lefty.
Was Mike Bossy already?
But then I only. What's that?
Was Mike Bossy already a lefty? That's...
No, Mike Bossy was a righty.
Oh, so that doesn't.
I mean, he shot righty. I mean, that's already in my American. But I think he was Ola Okula. I agree with him on that. A big chassid of Mike Bossy. I agree with him. Anyways, I think, you know, he was unfairly eclipsed in his, you know, in the assessment of his career. You know, and he was a very gentlemanly fellow, you know, having, you know, triumphed in the Lady Bing trophy several times, deservedly. And as a result, he never kind of, you know, projected himself. But, okay. The, everybody understands what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, the Gemara later on, in the Gemara in Balbasra, in the ninth parak, and Sugand up Kuf Mem Zayin or so. The Gemara has a discussion of Kiddushin L'Tibuin, which I'm not going to go into right now. But the Ritva there, basically, in that context, kind of discusses this issue. In other words, if you're Mekadesh with more than a Pruta, right, is there a Chalos in that more, in the plus? Does the plus, or even the amount of the plus, those are the two views here, become part of the Kesef Kiddushin? Right, that's an interesting question. Or is it just your Mekadosh B'Pruta, and there's now an additional Tanai, right, that you're going to give also more, or that's the Semikostas, or the Tanai of the... So I think that is possibly a way to explain what's going on here. I'll just give you another example, the next Gemara here on Kesef Aleph, which we already spoke about in the context of our discussion of Tanai and Bamban Beis, which is, right, the next lines. What does the Gemara speak about? Amar Abelazar, Skachali Bamana, Venasala Dinar, Harezu Mukudeshas, Vyashlin. Right? Kimin Damar Lamana, Vyay Dinar, Kaman Amar Almanas, Dami. And Kala Omar Almanas, Kamar Meyakshav, and so on. And then the Gemara's continuation. Some of the discussion, what is the Kesef Kiddushin, really? in that case, right? He's Makadesh, you know, Bimana, and he's Nasan Dinar, and we say Harezu Bukudeshas Biyashlim. So that three standards there. There's a pruta, there's a dinar, the dinar that he gave, the pruta that is the minimum, and the mana that he promised. So it's interesting to ask this question again. So in one extreme, you could say the kesef kiddushin is always a pruta. And everything beyond that, you know, is a tanai and a smichus das problem. On the other extreme, you could say he was mekadesh b'mana. So that becomes the kesef kiddushin. The chalos kesef kiddushin, in this case, is mana. Right? Or he, you know, they agreed to mekadesh b'mana, the actual nesina was with less. So is dinar the kesef kiddushin and the rest is just a tanai b'alma? So this whole question of, for example, whether you are obligated, right? Is there some, you know, pressure? It sounds in the Gemara that harezim ukudeshes v'yashlim. Right? There are two points to that. Number one is the kedushin chal immediately or only, you know, at the later point. Number two is there some sounds in the Gemara like the kedushin could be chal now, right? But v'yashlim. So the Rishonim took v'yashlim, as we already noted. Right, we've connected it to Rashi and Shavuos, right, in two ways. One is, if you want this really to be chal, then you better be mashlim at some point or another, right? And the other, of course, is that there's a certain urgency to be mashlim because that is the kesef kiddushin or tnai in general, you know, is something which integrates into the das. So again, there are some universal issues here, right? I mean, in parallel, you could ask this question in other contexts, too. What about, you know, buying a field? So the buying the field question, in a way, is an old friend. Or, I mean, that's the major machlokas Rishonim, which is also the machlokas, you know, haposkim, the sman, the taz, and the avnei miluim, and the nesivas, and based on the Rishonim in Perek Hazav and elsewhere, about piraon. And kesef. What is the real kesef kedushin? Is it pruta? Or what is the real kesef of Kenya? Is it a pruta, right? Or is it and the rest is kipas milva and so on? Or is it more than that, right? And the case might be that, you know, ironically, you know, that you could, again, kicha mistei afro. Part of the whole discussion in the poskim, the taz, the sma, the avnei miluim, and some of the surprising, you know, twists and turns that it takes is, you know, the comparison to kicha kicha to kiddusha. But you might really make the argument in either direction. You might say, well, in kesef, in a transaction, you know, it's always pruta and everything else is ischaibus. But in ishus, maybe there's a din of kesef shalano and kesef, you know, makanya nafsha, all the things that we're talking about. So maybe there is more of a chalos of the amount itself becoming the amount of the kiddusha. The opposite argument is, of course, the argument that, you know, that says that what you might be able to put a price tag on mekach u'memkar, right? Or maybe you don't need to, but the point is at least vis-a-vis this particular transaction between the parties, how much is it worth to you? You have this watch, get karka a little more difficult, which is why we might be mekalik between karka and metalkalin, but. Again, I think the evidence points that way as well. But in the end of the day, you know, it's. Are you going to put a price tag on the ishus? And the Avnei Miluim was saying yes, because you aren't really putting a price tag on the ishus. You're putting a price tag on the Maisa Kiddushin, right? So all I'm saying is there could be good reasons to think in this question of, you know, if the minimum is pruta, but you are, you know, the deal is for more, whether that extra amount is, you know, is part of the, you know, actual chalos price, you know, and kinyan, or whether or not it is something extraneous, you could argue in either direction, and the evidence, I think, goes in both directions, and you have to figure out whether you think it's the same, and if it's different, right, in which way it would be different. So harezim mekudeshes v'yashlim, and the question general of, you know, what happens in this interim period before the hashlama, and how you treat that, all becomes an interesting and important question. Oh. So that is one way to look also at what's going on in Rabbah and Rav Yosef. The more you think that all we care about is pruta, and the plus is on the outside, right? Even if you were to say that it's kesef plus, but whatever that is, this would be a great case. That's what Elliot was pushing me a little bit before to explain the difference, right? So in the end of the day, you could say, you know, you're Mekadosh B'Shirai, it is kesef plus. The Shirai is a case where there's an interim, you know, kind of it's a cheftza. So the question is, do you know the value? Do you need to know the value? Right? But you know that it's, whatever it is, you know that it's plus. Right? I'm not so sure whether the knowledge of its market value, right, is critical to that. But if you think it's even more than that, it's not just pruta plus. It's, you know, the pruta plus becomes the you know, the kesef kiddushin and so on, then maybe you really need to know the amount. That becomes very basic. It's like, in this case, the pruta, in a certain sense. Yeah?
Isn't this also different that the plus threatens the pruta itself?
What do you mean it threatens?
Because
well, it does,
even though we know it's, like in some way, even though we know it might be shavu pruta, we can't, like there's a problem even with assuming it's shavu pruta, it sounds like.
No, I don't think the problem in assuming that the shirai is shavu pruta.
The point is everyone is supposed to do shuma after, I mean,
That's the argument. So we'll get to that in 1 second. Is the Shuma that we're arguing about in this Gemara Shuma before or Shuma after? Right? You're saying Kulam Aniti, you need to do Shuma after. That's not so
good. No, it's that point of many you're showing it.
Right. I mean, you're taking the view of Rashi and Tosis, which is that the argument is about Shuma before. But the Pashtus will just say, get it on the record, and we'll talk about it more in just a second because I want to go through this, get it done. Is the Rambam. Right, that's the diuk of the Ram in our sugya, and the Magid Mishnah explicates this as well. That the Pashtus, the Rambam thinks that the debate is about Shuma after, as opposed to, you know, somebody knowing, or you know, there not being a known discrepancy. That would be the alternative. So that I think that's an important issue also, which I'm going to get back to in just a second. So that's one way, I think, to explain what's going on here in Rabbah and Rav Yosef, and to explain that Rav Yosef's view isn't, or they're arguing, let's say, not simply about, you know, the regular din of Smichus Das, but that they're arguing, you know, they have different perspectives on what's going on in Kesef Kiddushin. Again, if you want to say this in Kol Torah Kula, you could say that they argue, you know, on Smichus Das, or you could say they argue about this in Kol Torah Kula. But more specifically, it might be an issue in Kiddushin L'Tibuin, Kiddushin for the reason that we discussed it. Okay. Second, of course, is in terms of Das generally. Right? In the very beginning of the year, when we talked about Kiddushin B'Karka and so on, you know, the Hava Mina, is there such a Hava Mina? You know, does it ever, you know, resonate L'Maskana? So we spent some time, a good amount of time, talking about Das and Kiddushin and the role of Enikim and things of that sort. And we'll go revisit that a little bit in the Shtar Sugya. Is it conceivable that Rav Yosef's requirement of Smichus Das, right, in a very demanding or more specific kind of a way, you know, is something limited, again, to Ishus, to Kiddushin, because of the level of Das required. Now again, here you can get to the question, whose das? You know, whose das requires a higher intensity, right? Is it the das ha'isha, das ha'isha? Is it both? Is it neither? Is it one? Is it the other? So again, we're not going to go through all that again, but, you know, we saw a lot of range in that question in the beginning of the year.
Right.
Does das and kiddushin, you know, transcend Das and Kinyanim? That, there's a lot of evidence that that might be the case. And if so, is it both of theirs? Is it only one? And if so, you know, there's good reason to think the Baal, because he's the Kiyikak, he's the one who creates the Chalos. There's very good reason to think it's the Isha, because for her, you know, this is the owner only Ishus, right? And it's Asar Kulalma Kehektesh. And then she's subject, you know, to his whim, you know, in terms of the Minat Torah, at least the Gevurshin. And that, again, that's what the Sefer HaBatim was pointing out, right, about why maybe Dafka we emphasize, you know, her Das, let's say the Kaluya Bezavin type issues more than his. So there would be good reason either way. But the point is that if hers is either also or only the Das that matters, so what you might say is that even if Smichus Das and Kol Torah Kula, this kind of wouldn't be a problem, you wouldn't paskin like, you know, Rav Yosef, but maybe in Ishus, you would. That's a separate point. The third point, closely related to the second point, is that this isn't about the Mekadesh and it's not about the Mekudeshes. It's about, you know, the objective information that is accessible to the Edekiyu. Right? We've had plenty of that as well. Right? Remember that the Beis Shmuel wanted to say that about Chayshina and Shem Shavu Pruta B'Mardai. Right? Quoting the language of some of the Rishonim, Rajba in particular. That, you know, if the Edom don't know, right, then it's ke'ilu that they're not there. Or the, you know, or for them, you know, maybe there's no Kesef Kiddushin. Right? And we found, you know, in the Amira Sugya, that was what the Rajba, you know, was focusing on as well. Right? You know, they may know what they mean, but if the Edom don't know or aren't fully aware of all the facts, then it's Kemekadesh Shelo Bifnei. It's strong language, but that's... then, you know, we had the debate between the Rajba, Tshuvas HaRajba, and Tshuvas HaRitva, and it really, it's sugyas in the third parak of Kiddushin and the sixth parak of Gittin, right? What happens when there's a Kiddushin, but you're not exactly sure who the Miskadesh or the Miskadeshes is, you know, is that a problem in Edekiyum, right? So the need of Edekiyum to know everything, and then, of course, we talked about Tanai and Shliach and other things, like how much detail do Edekiyum need to know, or what is considered pivotal and core that they certainly need to know? This is a huge discussion. So maybe the need for Shuma, the need to know exactly the precise amount, and that it fits the amount of the projection, maybe that's something that can be mitbarer after the fact, or as long as it turns out okay, it's fine, because maybe that undercuts the Edekiyum function that at that moment, right, the you know, the critical, the information that can undermine an Ishus, right, has to be something that they are privy to, right? So any of these ways, I think, would explain, would acknowledge that, you know, Rav Yosef doesn't think that Rabbah is completely wrong, you know, that there's sufficient Smichus Das here to be, you know, a transaction, and maybe in Dini Mamanis or other things it would be totally fine, right? But there are added requirements here of one of these three type, all of which are important, which, you know, dictate a Rav Yosef standard rather than a Rabbah standard, at least according to Rav Yosef himself.
Maybe they would need to know, that they even need to know this objectively. Even if there was no, like, even if she had Smichus Das and it was Kesef Kiddushin?
That's what we're asking. I'm saying maybe. For the same reason they need to know, they need to witness the Amira, let's say.
That could be because we wouldn't know what he's thinking, as the Rashi says.
They wouldn't know,
but
I mean, the Baal and the Isha are honest people. Let's assume that it's like, you know, in the category of, you know, at minimum, Edecha Naman Bisurim, or even less. So if they say, yeah, when we did this crackerjack thing, like we were serious, or we meant this. When I said, here it is, the moment you've been waiting for, you know, and the Edom are there, and let's say they don't know whether that's a marriage proposal, or a gift, right, or a friendship ring, is that what they call it? They don't know what it is. So but then they ask them afterwards, like, what do you mean by that? You know. So according to some Rishonim, that's fine. They can supply that information after the fact. Well, as long as we believe them, or as long as there's other evidence, right? Like an interesting question that we discussed, you know, although the actual facts about this are unclear. Let's say, you know, you have a sukin. Again, I was making the argument that, you know, you have a sukin boso inyan, and then the Edom weren't there for the asukin, but they're there for the kiddushin. So I was arguing that since alpi din asukin boso inyan is part of that circle, right? This is not something we need to draw on the board. That's like so clear. So so that doesn't really matter because that's mitzura to the Edom kiyum. But let's say you were to, you know, reject that argument. I can conceive of people rejecting it. I just don't think that the Rajba and others would say that would be a problem. Let's say they did, right? So it's even objectively discernible after the fact. Let's say there are Edom on the Asukim Boso Inyan even. Let's say like the most, like this Edom on the Asukim Boso Inyan, but they're not the Edom Kiyum and they're not there for the marriage. You know, and then there are Edom on the marriage, but they don't know, and there's no Amira. Or there's an Amira which is Mur Pelas, right, which is confusing. So can you put those two things together or not? Right? So I was arguing that, well, if you hold a certain perspective on Asukin Boso Inyan, you know, so it is Mitzuraf, and therefore it's not a problem of Ediki. But let's say you were to, you know, reject that argument. So then you would say, well, it's all, you know, demonstrable, but it's not going to work for the Edekiyum. You're still Makadish B'liedim, because that depends in real time at that time. Right? So the same thing is what I'm suggesting here, which is, unless you want to say that, A, this is more trivial,
yeah.
Right, which is, so that becomes part of the question. You know, it's if it's about their Smichas Das, or if the Kesef Kiddushin, like, is important, that's not so trivial. Or if Ede Kiyum are even ma'akev and trivial things. Now, so the debates about what about tonight?
They're ma'akev. They're ma'akev to this level. I mean, they have to have so much knowledge of it.
Right. I'm saying, how trivial, how peripheral of an ikuv, right, is our Ede Kiyum, you know, required to know? The debates about Tanai and about Shliach and about some of these other issues can all be understood in two ways, as we've discussed. Right? One is that the argument is about the centrality of each of these factors. Right? You know, who the Mekadesh is. You could say, oh, who the Mekadesh and the Mekadesh is that peripheral information? A marriage took place. Mazel Tov. Odi Shama Barei Yehuda. Right? A marriage in Klal Yisrael. Oh, who are the participants? Right, names to be, you know, determined later. Or no, there's no such thing as a marriage. I mean, there is, but maybe the only time there's a marriage in Klal Yisrael is if there's first, you know, a marriage between individuals. Of course, that's true on a certain level. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is Alpidin. I think that was part of the Rajba Ritva, you know, discussion. Like, if it's not Reuven and Sarah, you know, can it just be, you know, the Jew and the Jewess? You know, and you know, as long, and we'll find out later, or every, just like every divorce is personal, right? By which I mean, you know, it is. But I meant it in a, you know, lishma sense, right? One of the reasons that you require lishma in a get is it's not a davar shebe kedusha in that sense, because it's a very highly personal. Every get is a get of a specific wedding. There's no generic, you know. What do they call it? A factory manufactured, you know, generic,
mass produced
get, right? Because I think it's the reason that a get is about a specific ishus, and it should be about a specific ishus. So, to what extent is that just about a get after the fact? Because it maybe. Maybe that's not true going in. Maybe that's true only when there's history going out, or the matir of it, and so on and so forth. You know, is the oser, you know, a to be filled in? That's part of the debate. So again, or the tnai, or the all the things. Is it that the debate is about how fundamental and core these things are? You know, but the assumption is that only those kind of things, you know, are necessary. You know, to be accessible to the Ede Kiyum, Or there's a level even beyond the critical core components, you know, but it is Ma'akev that the Enochim need to know about. Is it only Ma'akev things, or is it even detail things? Right. So basically, this is what we are suggesting. Okay. So the debate that you, that Josh referred to, namely, whether or not the, when we talk about the need to check us out, to do this Shuma, is it in advance or is it after the fact? So Rashi here says what? The Shavu Chamishim Miu Lo Shamu Bikim Kodem Lekach. Or at the bottom, Rashi on Zayin Amud Beis. And Tosis is even more explicit about it. Right? Tosis says, Rav Yosef over Tzvichin Shuma, Kodem Kiddushin Kamar, Kiddapirish Bekuntras. Right? Then he asks the Tema, because the Gemara later on, Shtachov, Chachomar Mishamin Asaniyar, Yesh Mishamin Pratim Kudeshes, it seems like Shamin Asaniyar is after the fact. So Tosa says, you're right, in Achanami, it depends on Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. Doesn't he say that? Yeshomar Elisha Damar Bekoldu, Kulam Aloy Pligi, Airi, Damar Lekoldu. Elisha of the Bekoldu, Nami Pligi, right? Achikomar, Im Rotsa Lekacha Bishtar, Shamin Asaniyar Mitchila. Klomar im shemu tchila lafukim mandar mekudeshes habishen shor bruta mitam shtar. I mean, it would depend on this. It depends on the shonus and the Gemara, or it depends on Rav and Rav Yosef, right? But the Rambam. Anybody have the language? Perek Zayin Alachi Yudches. Right. The Rambam does sound. This is the Ran's diyuk, but the Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah picks up on it too. What?
Zayin Yud
Ches? I think so. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have it, Israel?
Yeah. Amar lo ariya mekdash sibib gadim ilu.
Yeah.
Ashin shav chamishim dinarim. Ma'yishal mashi v'kayotzi v'hen.
That's Shirai, right?
Right.
Yishal, we'll go back to the Shirai. Yishal v'sav v'lohen.
Im ha'yishav in chamishim hariz mekdashas mi'yishas l'kicha v'inam tzrichin shuma v'shuka v'achar kach tiyah mekdashas k'day shetes mokdaita ela ho'el v'hen shavin k'mo sh'amar la.
Yeah. So the way the Rambam writes this, it's not 100% clear. Right. And the Rambam paskins that Shirai lo tzrichi shuma. Right? And he adds... what's that?
The Be'in Antzrichin.
Yeah, exactly. So one diuk is... that it's ukiyotze behem sha'isha misav alahen, right? Because she wants this, okay? It's something that, you know, so therefore the assumption is that, you know, she's interested. But the way he's described, ima yushavin, right? Ve'enan tzrichin shuma b'shuk, v'yachar kach tiyah mekudeshes, right? Meaning, would it be held up? Is the Rambam saying that if you did need shuma, though, the shuma would have to come, you know, before the kiddushin, or just before the chalos kiddushin?
Yeah, right? It seems to say the Achman says v'achachtiyah mekudeshes. Wouldn't that be that it's after it was given over?
So I'm saying, is that after it was given over, or, you know, we won't apply the kiddushin until we know it? So the Magid Mishnah here. One second. I think it's Magid Mishnah. Quotes, it's the Ran, basically. One second. That they're interpreting Rav Yosef is after the fact. Do you have that?
Even
after the fact would be for. Yeah, go ahead. Milash Rabbeinu Nira.
Shemavarish, the filler of Yosef lo amar. Shayu akidushin betalim. Given shalom nashimu kodem kabal kibalta kumosh peish
kodem kabalasa
kumosh peish rashi zelashon
elish inan cholin
achi yu nishumen
after the fact even umikomakom linyan dino lanafka midi because if sukai hokusav ended to shirai lo tzrika shuma but there's a huge nafkamina. Why? Because Ram says v'hoyush kiyotzeba she'isha misav next one nirashu savor she'ina din kein b'chol davar. Right? So, actually, Tokyo de Dibor, there's a, if the diuk is correct, there's a huge nafkamina, and that is that things she'ina isha misavah b'lahen, will require Shuma, but you could get away with Shuma after the Maisa Kiddushin, just that we're not going to sanction, you know, this Kiddushin. Like, what does it even mean? That's an interesting issue. Okay, if you need it in advance, obviously, anything that requires that, you know, it's the Shem Kiddushin, the Shem Kesef Kiddushin, you know, the Ede Kiyum, the real Das, any of that stuff has to be in advance. If it's more, just to make sure that it wasn't, that the Tanai was completed, etc., then there's room maybe to think of what the Rambam is saying. The second issue, do we paskin like Rav, or Rabba, or do we paskin like Rav Yosef? So that's the Gemara in Tes Omed Aleph, right before the Shtar Gemara, actually. What do we say about that, Josh? That's the Gemara says it, right?
We don't need it by Shuma, that's what it says.
By Shirai. Yeah, so the Gemara says, V'hilchasa Shirai lo tzrichi Shuma, V'hilchasa Krav Lazar, V'hilchasa Karava, Rav Nach. Fine. So one of the things is, V'hilchasa Shirai lo tzrichi Shuma. So it sounds like we pass it like Rava. However, just like the Rambam has that line about, you know, Dvarim Shem Isha Mesav Elohen, right, the... As the Magen Mishnah goes on to say, the Bali Tosis also, you have the Tosis there, if you don't mind, quickly. Vim Tomar. Tosis asks like a technical, seemingly technical question. Am I Yitzchak Livsov Kiraba Legaber of Yosef? Right? We always pass skin like Rabba. The Baba Basra. Okay, keep going. You can skip to the next one, yeah. Well, you can skip to the... Shemesh Litchos. Okay, good. It's interesting.
Go back between the columns, right?
The Omer Rabbeinu Tam is where we want. The Osel Ashminan, the Dafka Shiroi. This is very important, and this is a huge, huge discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Poskim, right? The very big rush. We read the rush about this once before, right? Whether you can be Mekadesh, you know, Betabas, you know, Sheish Bo'evan, this Tosis here. This is a huge issue in the Poskim, and it's a huge halacha l'maaseh. It always has been, right? That's why we encourage that the Tabas that is used under the Chuppah, right, not have a stone. And not be, again, you know, you can have some, as I like to say, you know, you can have, it can have some personality, but it shouldn't be that the personality, that, you know, the etching or whatever it is, something that makes it a little bit distinctive, shouldn't change its value, because it's not exactly a kasuv about avanim, yikaros, it's not about jewels particularly. The idea is that in jewels, there's that's what Tosis is saying, there's a wide range. And, you know, not all that glitters, you know, is gold, but also not all that glitters is as valuable as it might seem. Right? You can have a blinding stone, and, you know, it's all in the, it can be very flawed, it's all in the cut, it's in the supply and the demand, you know, it's in the fashion, the way that people assess jewels, or minerals, you know, is very, very volatile. Basically, is a huge range. So lefikach nago olam the kadosh b'tabas shein bo evan. Go ahead.
Adam el kaman b'perek sheni sheosif lanovet mishalo. Yesh lomar.
That's in the case of shamu also. Inami, ahu nofech is kain shirai sheyadua shav yoktzas. I mean, there's opening here. But not Odei Shufarshim at the bottom. Mishumachala Kamei Hilchasa Karaba Lo Tei Mahinu Rabba Di Kilamei Bavu Koldu Lo Tzricha Shuma. Basically, this isn't the only day in Tosis. So according to some views in the Rishonim, when we paskin that Shirai Lo Tzrichi Shuma, what we're really saying is we paskin like Rabba. And then the question: oh, what do we need to bother? We always paskin like Rabba, right? You know, whatever answer we give to that answer, it's a Baba Basra, it's this, it's that, the last answer, fine. But then that basically means that Rabbi Yosef was a very interesting Havamina, but we don't bask in that way. Now we can still discuss, did Rav Yosef, mid Rav Yosef, is there any nishma? You know, maybe Rav Yosef himself was just, you know, more machmir in Shuma and Kol Torah Kula. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, we really paskin like Rav Yosef, right? We just don't paskin like Rav Yosef in the case of Yadua. But it's more than that, because once we acknowledge that the case of Shirai is less of a problem because it's Yadua, or Yadua Ktsas, so what that does in turn, it provides us with two interesting conclusions. One is that we really paskin like Rav Yosef, right? In a case of Lo Yadua. So then you could say, okay, but it's in a case of Lo Yadua, so maybe it's the typical Shuma. But if we're still not sure about that, then Rav Yosef is back, right? Moreover, by saying that the argument between Rabbah and Rav Yosef is in a case, you know, which is Yadua Ketzas, we have significantly, maybe at least, upgraded the significance of Rav Yosef's Shita. You say, what is Rav Yosef driving us crazy? B'davar she'yadua k'tas. You know, Bishlomo, if it was, you know, a regular question, across-the-board question, so it's one thing. But if Rav Yosef is talking about a case which is yadua k'tas, so it sounds pretty draconian for him to have this higher... Unless they say, no, he's more mach. Fine. But what I'm saying is, if it becomes more of a standard for, you know, for Ishus, then that makes more sense. Similarly, for the Rambam, except that the factor of the Rambam is different, right? It's, you know, Dvarim Shemis Ababahen. So, is Dvarim Shemis Ababahen has nothing to do with the, you know, that's more of a practical, and at the end of the day, you know, you want this. It has nothing to do with its value. In other words, I want this Shirai, so, you know, if, again, it'll be a toast if it turns out to be the wrong amount. But if it turns out to be the right amount, and I was so excited, so not knowing, you know, the default is it's going to be the right amount, and there's no, you know, real, you know, impediment. It's not really so kadas. It's going to be a smichus das problem of Freya, only if it doesn't work out. But it's not really a smichus das problem or suffix b'shaito because she's very excited about it. So it could be that the Rambam l'shitaso, who thinks that you could satisfy the Shuma problem after the fact, you know, is taking a more pragmatic view here, and for that very reason, his chiluk is dvarim shemisavabahen, dvarim shein misavabahen, whereas the other Rishonim are saying it's, you know, dvar yadua. So maybe for them, it's really for the same reason that they require in advance. Maybe. Again, not foolproof, but something to think about. Does it apply in Dine Mamanus? Ah. So again, in terms of the Rishonim Alatar, just very quickly, because I don't want to spend more time on this, is the Talmud Arajba, I didn't give this to look at, but the Talmud Arajba quotes the Ravid, who applies this Machlokas to Dine Mamanus as well. Okay. That's very important to know. Tosas on Chesam and Aleph, which we will talk a little bit more about, but we already referred to. Which Tosas? Which Tosas? Micha?
The
Tosas I mean, I already gave it away. But just making the point, because it's, you know, it's like a Har Sinai point. What do you mean, like a Har Sinai point? Well, does anybody else here have grandchildren? Mm-hmm. And Elliot, I'm not. It's probably too early. How old is the Pekor?
Just turned two.
It's too early. You can find out about this next year.
We're starting Tosas in Kiddushin.
Yeah. Right. And it's going to find about the about this next year pre Shavuos or the year after for sure.
Small
toses
every time?
Yeah.
Elishnikon toses?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
smaller, but a very
important. Exactly. Like, it's a very basic theme in the kindergarten world. Oh, yeah. About RC. So, mino amino ledetanya egel zeh, right? A one-line tosis that everybody, lelishnikama maisi raya. right? Who would think that that would be, you know, a significant tosis? But it is a significant tosis for two very important reasons, maybe more, but for two. One is because we're trying to bring a raya lelishna kama, meaning we're assuming that the machlokas Rabban Rav Yosef lishna kama applies outside of kiddushin. It applies to pidyon haben. Okay, you could still say, well, maybe there's something about pidyon haben that is closer to kiddushin. But either way, it's an important point. The other reason why it's important is because of the ksos discussion, which we'll get to in a few minutes, which is that smichus das, which is an issue for the kone, for the makabel, right, that's an issue in matnas kahuna or in pidyon haben. Right, how much, you know, is matnas kahuna generally and pidyon haben specifically, right, focused on, you know, the nesina, the kabbalah, you know, maybe just de facto the lamaisa transfer, right? If there's a din of smichus das, then obviously there's a din of the kinyan of the mekabel. So it's a teeny little tosis, but it's a very critical tosis. Okay? Good. So that's what I want to say about Shuma. There's much more to say about Shuma, but for now. Let's talk a little bit also about Shavakasev. So again, this is just to remind people. Shavakasev and Chalipin, just a few points to remind you. So the other, the Lishna Basra in the Gemara, is that the Machlokas Rabban Rav Yosef in Shiroi is about whether Shavakasev requires Davar Katsuv. Correct? Well, yeah. What? No. Oh, I'm missing something? Oh.
Sounds like there's a typewriter back there.
Oh. Yeah. No. Somebody has a Dell computer.
Sounds like a typewriter as well.
Somebody has a Dell computer?
No, Toshiba.
It's a separate.
What is it?
My keyboard's broken.
Oh, good. It's good to know.
Dell keyboard, though.
How did you know it was Dell keyboard?
What?
How did Rebbe know it was Dell keyboard?
Is it a Dell keyboard?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
I know, it's amazing. I had no information.
That's true.
Okay. But I have a whole theory about it. Okay. But it's not for now. I already expressed too many of my theories today about, you know, teaching and, you know, Lady Bing trophy. So we'll leave it for another time. Okay. Shavakasev. So Lishna Basra. Yeah. So the Gemara, what's this idea? Right, Moshe? What do you think? What's this idea of midi the cuts? Right, that you need dover kai. Is that a chiddush or dover pashut? What? Again, if there's not a shuma problem, right, then why should you need a dover the kites? Unless you say, go ahead. That we need to? Why do you need to know how much it is? As long as you know it's more than a pruta. It's a pruta plus. It's a pruta plus, and you're getting... It's a shirai. You know, dvarim shen misavin bahen.
The reason why Shavakasev works is about the value, and maybe we need to know how much it is.
Yeah. In other words, it's going back to our previous discussions. If Shavakasev is Kasev, you know, then... Or it's, you know, it's even more... You know, just it's a similar parallel to the Hanoah discussion, right? Maybe it's, although you can be Mechalik, or it's the elemental element, you know, even in Kasef, not just the common denominator. There are three ways to look at Shama Kasef, right? Just like Hanoah, right? One is that it's the elemental element in Kasef. I don't care, the coinage, whatever. It's what it can get you, right? So that's the elemental part, or it's the common denominator part. Right, which makes it a natural equal, but not necessarily the elemental, you know, basis. But the third possibility is no. There is certain yichus to, you know, madbea that's, you know, over la socher, you know, the coinage of the realm, the coin of the realm, and that shavakesef is mechudash, and it's a convert. What are we called a conversion? Right, earlier in the year, a lot of evidence that that may be the case. The only reason, if there's no smichus das problem, why you should have to have a davar katsuv in shavakesef, that you have to know how much it is, I think, if you're taking the conversion idea. So then, in order to say, oh, this Shava Kesef is Kesef, and that's Mechudash too, because you could say it's Shava Kesef and it converts to Kesef. We just need to know that it's Lemala, it's more than the minimum required, right? But if you need to know exactly what it is for some reason, that implies that there's a conversion, and this is a condition of that conversion. Those are the two assumptions. Okay. So, that of course, you know, goes to the question, you need a Gzeres HaKasuv, you don't need a Gzeres HaKasuv, what about a Shava Kesef, you know, which is less than a Pruta, right? Is that going to be, you know, better than a Pruta, or better than a Matbeya, right? The whole Rajba, Ran, Ksos, Nesivas question. And in this sugya itself, we already read the Shaka Mekarva HaNasayu, right, that Havamina, and whether it's, you know, rejected or not. So the idea that could be, you know, better, worse, these are all questions that relate to this issue. And it's interesting in this respect also. Let's remember that in the beginning of the year, you know, Tosfos on Beis Omer Aleph, right, said that Shava Kesef Kekesef in Kiddushin is derived as a Gzeres HaKasuv from Eved Ivri, right? Yashiv L'Rabbo Shava Kesef Kekesef, quoting this Gemara, right here on Beis Omer Aleph, right? Again, other Rishonim thought that the Makar was from elsewhere, or that there's no need for a Makar, there's only a need for a Makar in something like Eved Ivri, or maybe not even that Lamaskana, maybe, you know, all sorts of issues. Right? Shava Kesef is only Kesef, according to some Rishonim, when there's Ratzon, or when there's, you know, Bal Karcha, right? All the issues that we discussed earlier in the year. So again, for Bali Tosis, who think the Eved Ivri is very prominent in the conversion idea and the need for Gzeres HaKasuv, and that is Gzeres HaKasuv, it's just interesting that the Raya, right, the first Raya for Rav Yosef, who not Minala, is Mikesef Miknaso, Bekesef Uniknevena Niknevetuva Bekelim, right, which is, the Gemara thought, was exactly this question. Okay. It's also worth noting what we did earlier in the year, and that is that when it comes to Eved Ivri, there is even a possibility that Shava Kesef, in one instance, is not Kekesef. Where do we have that? Only the people who are here. According to the Rambam, in one case, no one got it at the time either. What's the one case? Does Rambam ever say Shava Kesef is not Kekesef? Correct. The Geula, that's, what is it, Perek Beis, anybody have it? Perek Beis Halacha Ches? Is that it? Perek Beis Halacha Ches?
It's not in the Talmud Rashi also.
What's that?
No, it's not in the Talmud Rashi also.
I mean, something's in the Rambam.
Yeah, I just saw it like undocumented.
I mean, I like the Talmud Rashi, but don't get me wrong. Okay. Did anybody have Beis Ches? Is that it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I didn't find the right part yet, but.
Go ahead.
Echad Amocher Atma Bein Yisrael Bein La'akum Echad Shemachru Beis Din. Chashev had gamin with Vihashanim, Hanisharos, Ajnasi Avoshna, Rahishev, in Kono, Konehu, Mishnas, Hamakaro,
Sukin, right?
Yeah, Ajnasi Oval, Kitzad, Makarasma, Mev, and Ishar Leo, Mishnas, Mahira, Esther Shanim, Chashev, Sara, Holshana, Shabad, Vigora had done with Meshiv, Ashar, Kesef, Lotu, Okalin, Shanara Kesef, Yimakro, Bekesef, Unigal, Miyad, Akumen, and Nigal, Shabakesef.
So that is the Chiddush of the Rambam. It's based on the Yerushalmi, but of course it's based again on this miut of Tevuah B'Kelim. So what we tried to explain at the time was that it would appear that Giraon Eved from a Jewish owner and Geulas Eved from a non-Jewish owner, right, are slightly different. Meaning the idea is that in one case, as the question is, what, you know, is there, what is the level of formality in Giro? There's a mat here. There's a kinyan aguf for an Eved. As we know, even an Eved Ibri has some aspects of kinyan aguf, right? Especially in Yom Shivka Knanis and so on. The question is, again, the more we see the undoing of the Abdus, you know, and the Yetzel Cherus as simply the unwinding of the monetary relationship between the parties, the easier it is to say that, you know, Shava Kasav Kakasav. Even if you need Exarsav, you need Exarsav Kasav maybe in order to satisfy the fact that there's some sort of a Kinyan Aguf. But it's still very much, there's a lot of evidence within the Rambam that, you know, that there is also still a strong economic, you know, component to Sechiras Poalim. The connection between Sechiras Poalim and Eved Ivri is a very big theme. But when it comes to a non-Jewish owner, it isn't just Giraon. A Giraon, again, has a certain very pragmatic, I mean, subtraction, right? Or diminishing the amount. So Giraon, you know, has a very, you know, quid pro quo, you know, sense to it. Pidyon, right, sounds like more of a matir. It's a different kind of an obligation, and it may be a bit different kind of mechanism. The need, therefore, to be poda, the ebed, from a non-Jewish, again, instinctively, could have gone the other way too. You could have said, well, the relationship with a non-Jewish, you know, adon, is can only be, you know, financial. But the point that the chiyuv, the greater chiyuv, which expresses itself in certain dinim, of geula, and the fact that it's called geula rather than giraon, is something which reinforces the idea that, you know, there's some sort of a matir here, and that this extrication, right, this matir, therefore, might really require kesef itself. Anyways, it's interesting, especially the difference then between Giraon and Geula. Let me just mention. So we had, if you remember, we discussed IOUs, right? On Daf Hei, Ashtar Admei. I mean, Rashi, when the Gemara says who came Parma Hekdeshus, Maiser Sheni, that whole discussion, so Rashi said that it's an IOU, basically. And if you recall, the Rajba said, IOU, that doesn't work, right? We see, we'll mention it again in a minute. From Pidyon Aben, we can see that it doesn't really work. Because Pashtus, the Gemara is in Pachoros, and Ksuvis, is that it doesn't work, it only works Drabana. So, but Rashi seems to say that it does work. It would have worked in Kiddushin, or maybe in maybe it does work for Kesef Kiddushin. Hard to know, but it would have worked at least, and if not for Gzeres HaKasuv and Pidyon Hekdeshus and Maaseh Sheni, and it's just the limud of Pidyon Hekdeshus and Maaseh Sheni which excludes that, right? So at the time I mentioned that there is a support for Rashi, but it's a kind of a double-edged victory. And that is the Gemara in Tezvav Amud Aleph, I'm sorry, Tezayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, right, that your Yotze B'Giron, Amisha says that Eved Ivri is a Yotze B'Giron Kesef. Then the Gemara says, Amar Chizkiyahu Amar Krov Hefta, Elamit Shemegareya Pidyona V'Yotze. Then the Gemara says, Tana V'Kone Satsu V'Kesef, U'Bisho V'Kesef, U'Bishtar. So the Gemara says, Bishlo M'Kesef, Ksiv M'Kesef P'Knasa. Shava kesef nami, just like our Gemara, right? Yashiv gulasam rachman al rabba shava kesef kekesef. Elahai shtar, echidami. What's the shtar? So the Gemara says, ilay b'dekesef l'shtar admei. That's the IOU, right? So the Gemara says, hainu kesef. Ela shichur shtar lamali, lema b'api trezil. And that's when the Gemara says, osomeres, abedibri kupan kanui. Something that we discussed a little bit this year, and we discussed a little more last year when we did Sanhedrin in the context of Pshara, because it comes up Mechila, Tzricha Rein, Tzricha Kinyan. This is a big Gemara for that, and so on. Okay. So, based on that Gemara, it's hard to say what the Rajba says, which is that an IOU is legally nothing. Right? The Rajba says, you see from Pidyon Aben that an IOU is nothing, therefore it wouldn't ever be anything in Kiddushin, it wouldn't be even as a candidate in Hekdesh of Maaser Sheni. Therefore, Rashi is completely wrong. Ad Kedei Kach, the Rashba says, that the shtar that we're talking about is a proclamation, which is fine in Kiddushei Shtar, it is, but it doesn't work so well as I even a hava mina in Pidyon Hekdesh of Maaser Sheni. What, you can just say right to, you know, Pidyon Hekdesh of Maaser Sheni, you know, you write down a shtar, I hereby am poda, right, with nothing more than that. No tachlif or all at all, no exchange or anything. Hard to believe. But it's a difficult Rashba. So what that Rashba, you know, seems to be telling us is, number one, this is important for the next little category that we're going to speak about quickly. Number one, that Pidyon HaBen is a good paradigm. If something doesn't work for Pidyon HaBen, then, you know, it's probably not a real kesa. Okay. Maybe he learns from our sugya about Lidini Shavali that if anything, it's easier to accomplish Pidyon HaBen. Well, we'll discuss that in a minute, but I think that may be the case. And that Ashtar Admei is just a Hiskaibus Bialma, and it's nothing. Right? It's certainly not a legitimate, you know, it's Kenyan. But what you see from the Gemara on Tezvavot Aleph is that Rashi is not wrong. Namely, you see that Shtar Admei is, the Gemara says, oh, if you write some an IOU, that's going to work. But why did I say it's a double-edged sword for Rashi? What? Why? Avram? The Gemara there does seem to say that IOU is meaningful. It's not just a Skyvus Bialmo.
I have an
what?
Because it's by Ivri.
Well, the Bay of an Ivri is something which is going to be the answer, something we're going to have to say in a second, but we're going to have to say it for both. Why are we going to say it for both? Rashi just saying, okay. I mean, the Rajma thinks Bechor, Pidyon HaBen is a great paradigm, and Rashi thinks that Eved Ivri is a great paradigm. Right? And shiny Pidyon HaBen. The Rajma is going to have to say something, although he doesn't there. He's going to have to say something about shiny Eved Ivri. Okay. But what I want to point out is that even Rashi has to say a little bit of shiny Eved Ivri. Why? Why? Erdan? Nobody? Because there's still a discrepancy. What does the Gemara say? What is the Gemara looking for in Tazayin of an Aleph? The Gemara says, what's a shtar for an Eved Ivri? So the Gemara says, if you want to say it's a shtar at May, that certainly works, but that's not the shtar of the Mishnah because Hainu Kesef. Right? What does Rashi say on Hayom and Aleph about a shtar on May?
That's
a shtar. Right? That's the whole point. Rashi and Hayom Aleph is trying to explain what was the hava mina that a shtar would work. How would shtar work if it would work in Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni? Right? The answer is it would work, you know, as a shtar ad mei. So all I'm saying is that the Gemara on Tazayin of an Aleph is a problem for the Rashba, and it's all things being equal, a support for Rashi, but it's also a problem for Rashi. How come there it's Kesef, right, and here it's Shtar? Oh. So I think that the answer for both is, if you take, this is an Eved Ivri issue, which I don't want to get into right now, but like there's very mixed evidence, as you can tell. But let's say you were to say, like the diuk that we just made, which is that an Eved Ivri, right, it's called Giraon Kesef. It's not called Pidyon. And it's not Hakna. It's called Giraon Kesef. So in that, Ishtar Admei is Hainu Kesef. Now, it's just an interesting question when you talk about it. There are two issues here, always, you know. One is, what is the status of an IOU? But you could have said an IOU is zero. It's just a statement of intent. It's just a hiskaivus. Or maybe it's a kinyan hiskaivus, but it's not a kinyan of anything when you need a particular, more specific kinyan. In the Rambam, as we know, in Perek Aleph, Halakha Tezvav, of Hilchos Mechira, because we talked about this a lot in Arev, holds that, based on the riff in Ksuvah, Stav Kuf Beis, holds that hiskaivus is a kinyan too. Kinyan of Disa, whatever you want to call it. Ksos likes calling it kinyan of Disa. Fine. But if you need Kesef, it's not Kesef. Right? We had that problem with Arev. Right? So, in the round. So, what's going on here? You know, in a sense, you have a similar problem, because the Gemara basically says that IOU is Giron Kasef. Rashi says it might have been, if not for Xeris HaKasuv's, a shtar. And the Rajba says, you know, you see from Pidgin Aben that basically it's nothing. So the answer, if you look at it, what is an IOU? You could look at it just like Milva. It's the flip of Milva, right? It's 50% the, you know, the equal of Milva and 50% the opposite of Milva, right? Just structurally, meaning, what is a Milva? Meaning I owe you owe me, rather, $100. And I want to use that debt, the debt I hold over you, as kesef. And we talked a lot about that. Right? What is an IOU? Not an outstanding debt. The initiation, part of the problem of a Milva is that it already exists and you didn't initiate anything new. This is totally initiation, that's the opposite. But what is it? It's the obligation. The Milva is the Lovez obligation, you know, to return, and the IOU is the obligation to give. Right? It's the Makne's obligation. So in terms of the amorphousness, can you say that? Of it, meaning how concrete and legally substantial is it? It doesn't have to be identical, but it's a similar and a parallel question, right? Namely, if you have an enforceable loan, the return of a loan is enforceable, right? But Milva lo tzanid. Here, at least theirs is a quid pro quo. You're, you know, it's triggered by having the matan mos that you received. Never mind the difference between, you know, a milva of a milva and a milva of a mekach and a milva of a schiras and all the other things that we discussed, right? Here, on the one hand, you have initiative. It's a new initiative. It's enforceable in the courts. No one thinks that shtar is not enforceable. Let's assume. Right? So there's initiative. It's enforceable. But it's not a reaction or response to something else. So is it more or less concrete? Very interesting question. Very... Just like we talked about a milva dacherim, right, being different than a milva dida or didei, right? So what you could say is, I mean, you could have thought that the halachic view on an IOU is carved in stone one way or another. It's either not anything at all except for an enforceable ischaibus, or maybe it's kesef, or maybe it's a kind of a shtar in the sense that, you know, it isn't actual kesef, because the person doesn't actually get anything, but he knows now that he has an enforceable asset. Right? So you could say, oh, that's like pirum. Or maybe even it's like kesef, more like pirum than kesef. Or you could say, no, it's based on, it's a statement, it's a proclamation, and therefore it's more like a shtar. But it's a legal proclamation, and therefore it's like a shtar. Right? So I think what the Rajba will say to you is that an IOU, you know, is giron kesef for an eved ivri, because that's just lebaisa, dollars and cents. Meaning, it's, you know, schiras poalim till yovel, and you're in megareya. So as long as it's enforceable lebaisa, right? You've done it. You've substituted. I mean, you take the most pragmatic view, right? And Rashi might be saying, you know, he might agree with him and say, yeah, the sugya on Tezayin has nothing to do with it, because that's just a, you know, balancing, you know, of the ledgers, you know, assets and obligations, you know, debt and you know, benefit and so on. But maybe Rashi will say something else. Maybe Rashi will say, you see from the sugya on Tezayin of an Aleph that an IOU is a tangible asset in the context where money is purely about piron, right, and giraon, right, piraon, giraon, then it's even kesef. All right, so pidyon, ma'aser sheni, and hekdesh, we're talking about its kind, or kiddushin, which isn't really about paying off an amount or balancing, you know, the amounts. There, it's not going to be kesef, but it is a kalos, and therefore it could qualify as a shtar. Right? That might be the idea. But the reason I'm telling you this is, this touches on both questions, right? And especially on the question of Giron Eved Ivri, as opposed to Geulas Eved Ivri, being fundamentally different. The other point here is that the Gemara says that Chalipin doesn't apply to Eved Ivri. We already mentioned this the other day. We noted that Lemaskana, the Gemara, backs away from that as the meaning of the phrase here. The question, did they back away from the conclusion? So again, very briefly, because I don't want to go back into Chalipin, but the Marit, and the Mishnah Melech quotes it in Hilchos Avodah in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, the Marit says that Lahalacha, Chalipin does work in Eved Ivri. It was just a Havamin of the Gemara here. But the Mishnah Melech argues that for the Rambam, it may not be the Pshat in, you know, two of a Kalim, but Lahalacha, there really is no Kinyan Chalipin. And as we noted, the Rambam omits it, and the Rambam does seem to be suggesting an exhaustive list of Kinyanim of Eved Ivri. Again, if you want to argue, you could say something that we, you know, pointed out when we talked about Chalipin more extensively, and that, you know, how come the Mishnah, but the Rishonim already ask, and give different answers to it, and Tam and Sefer Yashar, and Talmud Rajba and others, and the Rach ben Shmuel, all that. Namely, how come the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Chav Ches, says that Karka Niknis B'Chalipin, that Karka Niknis B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Kazaka, sorry, and omits Chalipin? Everybody agrees that Karka is Niknis B'Chalipin. Or explicit Gemaras about that. Right? So different answers are given to that question. Let's say the two prominent ones in the Rishonim and the Achronim, the Sma, the Drisha, and so on. One answer is, yeah, because it's under the rubric of Kesef. It's an expanded Kesef. If you think Chalipin is an expanded Kesef, either as barter or something else, whatever, then that's fine. It's included under the rubric. The other answer is, no, Chalipin is the universal Kinyan. What the Mishnah is referring to is, what about the kinyanim, you know, which are questionable, namely the ones that are more specific, you know, that differentiate karka and metaltalin. But Chalipin isn't there because Chalipin is universal and uniform. Right? So if you want to, you know, say either of those answers for the Rambam, you might explain why it's missing in Eved Ivri. But in light of what we said in the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, which is, even though the Ran makes it seem like the Rambam says that Chalipin doesn't work, when he talks about Matan Menasa Hachzer and so on, the Rambam actually, right, never talks about it. And certainly, the Gemara is explicit, and the Rambam, you know, is already passing Matan Menasa Hachzer, he's already in the next stage. It's striking that he doesn't mention it, but that clearly he holds that Chalipin doesn't work in Kiddushin. It's also clear that the Rambam generally holds that Chalipin is not Kesef. And we know that, without going into, again, Chazara, but Perek Chavtes Alachates in Yochos Mechira, Perek Hei Alachates in Yochos Mechira, Perek Hei Yochos Avadim Halachabe. We know that the Rambam doesn't think that Chalipin is Kesef at all. The Ravid is the one who keeps saying, you know, Kesef, Chalipin is Kesef, except in that one place where he talks about Eni Kiyum, and he says, Eina Kol Modim Bazet, Perkei Halacha Tes, right? But the point is that when you put the Rambam together, obviously what's really going on is that the Rambam's view of Chalipin and its unique nature, and what normally makes it uniform, is precisely what makes it inappropriate for Kiddushin, where you need a Maisa Kinyan as part of the Hagdara of Kiddushin. It's not just that, oh, Ishus is a Kinyan, so you got to get the effect of a Kinyan. The whole point in Kiddushin is that the Kinyan and Derech Kinyan is part of the Hagdara of the Maisa Kiddushin. Part of the unique feature of Maimon Har Sinai, right, addition to Ishus beyond Ben Noach. But that requires a Maisa, not just pure Das or Das driven. So That's why the Rambam ends it. But he can still go on to the next point and derive, you know, another aspect of the Matan Hasahaksir and the Milba and so on. So in light of that, you know, when the Rambam omitted it from Eved Ivri, that means that he holds that Eved Ivri, you know, Gufo Kanoi, whatever you want to say it, doesn't work Mechalipin for the same kind of reason. It would, you know, if he had mentioned it, that would be one thing. But not even mentioning it means it's just like, if assuming it's the same parallel, like Kiddushin, it's just totally inappropriate. That's very important.
Right, so that same Talmud Rashi, but he actually says that Eved Ivri is not Kone B'Chalibin because there's no Kinyan Hagov.
Because there's no Kinyan Hagov?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting.
You have a line?
I don't have it with
me. Uh-oh, okay. That's where, where does he say that?
On the Talmud.
Here, on Chaz.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting, okay, very good. Anyways, there's a whole discussion about Eved Knani. Tosas has a little bit of it here, as you know. And it goes back to Sugyan Daf Gimel and Akum. I don't want to get into that. We did it mostly then, but there's a lot more on, you know, Eved Knani and Nachri in Chalipin. But we're going to leave that for now. So the final thing I want to speak about, again, I'm sorry I didn't get to Shtar, but we'll do Shtar on Monday, Yez Hashem at 12. And if I'll be a little late, I'll phone in. But I'm going to try to make it for 12. The final thing I wanted to discuss, I didn't want to discuss very quickly, is Pidgin Abed. And again, we can't do justice to this. Elliot reminds me that I once gave some summer shiurim on the last parak of Bechoros, where I had the opportunity to do Pidgin Abed more extensively. This year, Pidgin Abed has come up, as I say, Andapei, Ledidi Shavali. I'm sorry. Sharad Mei, because it's very important for that. And it came up again in Matan Almanas Lahaksir.
You also did it by Shes and Fleshed Morna.
Will we do it? Yeah. So it's come up just, to, you know, even in the last couple of years, it came up, again, I said this year on Daphei, and again on Matan Almanas Lahaksir, the question why the Havamina, you know, was that Tosas, that Truma would be an exception, but not Pidgin Abed, the discussion of the Sefer HaMakne that Itamar, I think, brought to our attention, which was that it's a chiluf, you know, really is, you know, the Kohen giving up the, being Makne, the child, which we'll get to in just a second. It's the language of the Atzmus Yosef also. And then it came up, comes up here again, in the context of Ledidi Shavali, and the question of Smichus Das, and the question of a female Kohen, or the Baal of a female Kohen, which I'll discuss in just a minute, which is the, you know, an issue in the Tosis. It also came up one other time, Kohen Meseyam Beis Agranos, right, where we talked about the fact that Tosis and Bechoros thinks that that applies to Pidgin Abed, and I was trying to make the case that the Rambam's omission is due to the fact that he doesn't think that that's Mishulchan Gavol Kazachu. He thinks it's a very specific amount, that it's part of the pidyon of, you know, Levium and Kohanim for the Bechor, and that puts a whole different spin on it. And the other place it comes up, I say, is right here. You're right, and we talked about, and we learned Ksuvis a couple of years back, not last year, but the year before, we talked about, you know, whether you say Shah Simcha B'mono or the Pidyon Aben in the level of Simcha. So it comes up in a bunch of sugyos. It's a very, very fascinating question. And the question really is whether or not Pidgin Abed is a typical Matnos Kahuna. First of all, there's a broader question. What is typical Matnos Kahuna? Is that oriented towards Nesina or Kabbalah or both? Is that about, you know, Mamon HaShevet? Is it about supporting, you know, the Kohanim? Is it about the Kohen, you know, or giving something to the Kohen as a representative, you know, of not necessarily the Kohanim even, but Klal Yisrael, because we say, you know, Kohanim are Shluchei Didon v'Shluchei Drachmana. Maybe the status of being both Shluchei Didon and Shluchei Drachmana is a unique thing in Kahuna. What I'd like to say is that Matnas Kahuna in general obviously shares something in common with each other, and there are certain dinim that parshos in the Torah that speak broadly about Matnas Kahuna. And obviously, each one individually needs to be assessed separately. Even the trumos, like challah, truma, bikurim, are all trumos. But there are differences between them, fundamental differences between them. Last week's parsha, the parsha's naso, there's an interesting, I wish I could talk about this more, but two psukim right in the beginning of the parsha, Torah speaks about the din of Gezel Ager. Even though the parsha of Ashab Gzelos, and that's where a person steals and then he lies about it under oath, appears early in the Torah, Vayikra. But it appears again in Naso, and Chazal say why? Because of the addition of Gezel Ager. So, what's the big deal? What is Gezel Ager? So the din of Gezel Ager is that if the guy Ger dies and you stole his money and you're Nishba L'Sheker, so who are you going to give the money to? He doesn't have any Yarshin. So you give it to the Kohen. This Sifrei says you give it to the Kohen who's working the Anshe Mishmar of that particular day in the Beis HaMikdash, or that week in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosefta, in one place, seems to say you can give it to any Kohen you want. The next Pasuk is about Bikurim, according to almost all Rishonim, because it talks about Truma, but Hakrava Truma. And again, the Sifrei makes it clear, Rashi, first day the Ramban denies it, the second the Ramban admits it. It's all about Bikurim, which is Kodshe Mizbeach, and also Truma. And again, that goes to the Kohen. And it sounds like the Kohen who's on duty. And once again, there seems to be a debate. This is a debate seemingly in the Mishnayos in Bikurim. But we paskin that it goes to the Kohen, again, who's serving in the Mishmar of that particular week. The Ramban emphasizes, he says, Velo kimo truma shenos in the Kohen shiyirtza. And the Sfarnus thinks that that's what the Pasuk is there for, and that it compares it to Gezel Ager, of all things. So, what's the connection to Gezel Ager? Why does Gezel Ager and Bikurim both go to the Kohen, and not just any Kohen that you choose, but the Kohen on the Mishmar? So, they're Matnas Kahuna, both of them. And then there's a whole discussion in the Gemara and Zvachim between Rashi and Tosis, whether or not the Gemara seems to say in Zvachim that you could be Makadesh Begezel Ager. The Kohen who receives the Matana can be Makadesh with it. It becomes their Nechasim. This is true in Bikurim as well. Clearly in Mishnayos and Bikurim becomes Nitzei Kohen. But there's a debate between Rashi and Tosis whether we say Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu regarding Gezel Ager. Very interesting argument. Tosis says it's got to be, it can't be Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu if you can be Makadesh with it. And obviously Rashi thinks that that's not the case. So there's an interesting discussion also about Bikurim, whether it's Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu. We already discussed the question whether or not Pidgin Aben is Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu. The point I'm trying to make is that there are things that are Matnos Kahuna are Matnos Kahuna, but there are multiple themes within Matnos Kahuna, different emphases. If you look at the different parshios, the way that the Torah describes it, right? What is an exchange like Pidgin Aben? This should have been the Bechor, right? So it's a chilufin of some sort. That's what I was trying to explain about Maseiyam Beis Agronis. Then there's another idea of supporting, Shevet Levi and Shevet Kuhur. Certainly Maisa Rishon is a support because they don't have their own Nachla and so on. How much of Matnos Kahuna is that? Or it's a Davar Shebekedusha, therefore it belongs to the Kohen. Or it's given, to the Kohen as a representative of Klal Yisrael, but he's the right representative for these particular Dvarim Shebekedusha. So I think, for example, just to say very quickly, that Gezel Ager, especially the connection between Gezel Ager, Sfarnu emphasizes the connection. What does Gezel Ager have to do with Bikurim? They're totally. What is a case where it comes out by an illegal act? In a regular case, you'd give it back to the owner. This ends up going to the Kahuna and to the Kohen who's serving in the Mikdash. What does it have to do with Bikurim, which is a Chiyuv, Hovas Agavra, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, both Kachin is Beach and everything else? What does one thing have to do with the other? I think the idea is that the Kohen HaMishmar in particular, there's Mamodos. Klal Yisrael, is represented by every, week at the Beis HaMikdash. And the idea of the Mishmar that's again a whole topic, is the idea of the netzigos of Kal Yisrael for karbanos. It's not just a way of, you know, fairly apportioning, you know which kohen is going to get the dividend of the week. So what the Torah is telling us very profoundly, according to these farshim, is that despite the range for different reasons, Gezel Ager and Bikurim, Gezel Ager because the Ger really belongs to Klal Yisrael. Sparta has a nice comment where he says that there's an added Chil Hashem in Gezel Ager because, I'm presuming because he doesn't flesh it out, because of his vulnerability, number one, and because his treatment reflects on Klal Yisrael, and also because he has no one else to protect him but Klal Yisrael. In a way, Gerim belonged to Klal Yisrael. And I think the point is that when you steal, I'm not sure if this is true generally, when you steal from an individual, and you steal from a member of Klal Yisrael. That is true. I'm not sure how much the individual theft, eclipses the rest of it. Or, saying it a different way, when you steal from a ger, in addition to stealing from an individual and stealing from a member of Klal Yisrael, maybe there's an accentuation of that second point because this person doesn't have a family, and because he chose to be a member of Klal Yisrael, and partially the values and everything that underlie that should have protected him against this kind of improper behavior. Getting a little philosophical here, but I think this is really what underlies the dinim. But the point is that at minimum, whether it's always true for everyone, but they have other streams of how to satisfy the individual obligation, which is primary. And Gezel Ager you don't, because he doesn't have Yarshim. But the point is, also to the extent that he doesn't have Yarshim, it becomes more of a Klal Yisrael focus, b'dieved, and also even in the nature of things. And therefore, you give it to the Kohen, but not any Kohen Shehirtza, but the Kohen who's on the Mishmar, because for this week, right, he's the Hanikani Shluchi Didon Shluchi Derachmana, but he's really the representative of Klal Yisrael, in a way. And it's a kind of a Me'ila, too. So the Kohen representative of Klal. And I think that's a pshat in Bikurim. A lot of evidence that Bikurim, which is a combination of Kodesh Mizbeach and Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that's one of the reasons it is in the Mishnah, despite the Gra's effort to take it out in Kalim. Eser Kedusha Sein. So Bikurim is about, said this in the past, Kedushas Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, in all of these, its different aspects, but especially the totality of Kedushas Klal Yisrael. It's Reishis Bikurei Admaska. That's why you have to have individual ownership. And there's actually debate about a ger, which is interesting. L'halacha, if you say the gerim are included, even in the Kriya, which is a debate in the Mishnah, in the debate L'halacha, because they're B'nei Avraham Avinu, it's a way of basically saying, well, the Inyan Bikurim, when we speak about, that there are two levels of ownership. And every ger, can say Admascha because, based on the collective of Klal Yisrael, he's a member. Anyways, but the point I'm trying to make is that, for that reason, Bikurim, unlike Truma, Truma is about supporting the Kohen, and it's a Davar Shebikdusha, but it's called Kohen Sheyirtza. This is about Anshe Mishma. So Pidyon HaBen, within Matnos Kuhuna, you think about, is it a din of Shevet? Is it a din in the Kohen as a representative of Klal Yisrael Legabe this? Or is it the Tachlif or the Chilufin, right, to any member, any Kohen, right? What kind of halacha is Pidyon HaBen? That becomes the important question here. I think I'm going to have to stop. So just give me, I'm going to take 10 minutes just on Monday just to finish this point about the Ksos and this Tosas and a little bit on the Didi Shavali, but literally 10, 15 minutes at the most. And then I want to try to do Kiddushe Shtar, the question of Edi Mitzira Karsi, Edi Chasima Karsi, the Bekoros that I gave you, and then we'll pick up the week after. Okay? So this take a few minutes, and we're mostly starting on Daf Tes. When I say 12 o'clock?
Yeah.
12 o'clock. Good, I started.
Yeah.